to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defence on Kidsway, brought to you by the FNX Network and My Sportswear. I'm your host, Stel, for this evening, and what a show we have in store. Now, as football fans, we're emotionally invested in the teams we support and have a vested interest in the majority of players, past and present, who have represented our clubs. Now, we know most modern-day footballers earn enough money in a month, or even, you know, a week to even last a lifetime. But what about those less fortunate who haven't had the lucrative deals or their faces plastered all over billboards and shop windows? What about players who have had their careers cut short due to persistent injuries, or even individuals whose best interests haven't been, how shall we say, looked after for the best? Now, while British footballers are protected somewhat by the PFA, there's only so much this support system can do to rehabilitate players who have hung up their boots. Now, my guest this evening is a former professional footballer who made a name for himself as a promising fullback in Ligue 1 for Toulouse and even represented the Tunisian national team at the African Cup of Nations. Now, unfortunately, persistent injuries abruptly put an end to his career, leaving him in limbo. Now, ladies and gents, it is my absolute honour to introduce one of the most charismatic, influential and genuine gentlemen I know in the game, CEO of On Track Sport, Wissem Belgacem. Wissem, welcome to Shoot Defence. How you doing?
Thank you very much, Phil. I'm very good, thank you. How about you?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. I'm very good.
Likewise. I'm very happy to be here as well.
Thank you very much. Well, Wissem, as far as I'm aware, you've overcome many obstacles in your career. So would it be fair to say that the most difficult challenges came even before you joined Toulouse? I mean, take us back to your younger years. Where did it all begin?
So, as you can hear, I'm French. I'm from the south of France. I'm from a hometown called Aix-en-Provence. And that's where I've started to play football. And as you know, I mean, similarly to the UK, France is a country where, like, pretty much all the kids want to play football. There's a lot of competition from a very early age. That's where I've started playing football in Aix-en-Provence.
Excellent. And who actually spotted you as a child playing football?
So you have a lot of scouts in the region where I'm from, because Aix-en-Provence is very close to Marseille, and that's like one of the biggest cities in France, obviously, after Paris. And when I was 12 years old, I actually had a number of scouts coming to see me and talk to me. And at the time, Nice wanted to sign me, Montpellier wanted to sign me, and Toulouse as well was interested in my profile. But with my mother, we've decided to opt for Toulouse in the end.
Okay. And were you a Marseille fan growing up?
Obviously, it's the one massive club in the region, and with the history and winning, you know, the Champions League in 1993. I mean, I grew up with, like, stars in my eyes. So, Marseille has a special place in my heart.
Excellent. So, you've joined Toulouse. Who were the first people you actually met at the club? Were there any big names there?
When I joined, I was 12 and a half, and there's a few guys that I've started very early that are now playing professional in Premiership, in La Ligue 1, and in Spain in La Liga as well. And just to name a few, I mean, in the UK, you have Sissoko, who now plays for Tottenham. Mm-hmm. In France, a very good friend of mine, is Cheikh Mbeng, who plays for Saint-Etienne. He was also an international in the Senegal team. And another one in La Liga would be, for instance, Frank Tabanu, who plays for Grenada. Well, he plays for Swansea, but he's on loan in Grenada at the moment.
Excellent, excellent. So you joined Toulouse at 12 years old. And I believe you made your debut, 16 years old, is that right?
For the Tunisian national team, you mean?
Yeah, well, in general, how old were you when you played for Toulouse, the first team?
Yeah. So I was 12 and a half when I went there, and you start at the football academy.
That's right.
And then you play, you know, the under 14, under 16, under 18. I was born and raised in France, because my parents are originally from Tunisia, I was able to play for the Tunisian national team, starting in the under 16. And I had the chance, like, to play international competition, like the African Nations Cup, for instance. That was a great experience.
So, talk us back to when you were called up for the Tunisian national team. I mean, that's a fantastic honour. You know, your parents are from that country. What did it mean to you and your family?
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I've always felt kind of in between, because obviously, I mean, I've got this North African heritage, but I've grown up in Europe, I've grown up in France. I've never lived in Tunisia. I've only been there on holidays and stuff. But obviously I've heard so much from my parents about this country and how beautiful it was. And I have a lot of family in Tunisia that I go and visit pretty much every year. So when I was able to play for the Tunisia national team, it was such an honor. I'll always remember it was this game. It was I think it was the 17th of December. I don't know why I remember the date, but not the year. I remember my coach told me, no pressure, but there is someone from the Tunisia Federation that is here to observe you.
Wow.
And I remember I delivered a very, very good performance that day, and we won 1-0 against Bordeaux. And it was 17th of December, and right after, I remember I didn't go home for Christmas or New Year's, because I went straight to do like some sort of training camp with the national team in Tunisia, and we played a friendly game against Ivory Coast.
Okay, excellent. So
we lost, unfortunately, but that was a great game.
I can imagine being your debut as well. That's fantastic. Now, as far as I'm aware, you represented the Tunisian national team around the time they won the African Nations in 2005.
But that was the senior team. So at the time, I was still junior.
Right. Okay.
Because you know, you have different levels.
Yeah.
Under 16. Which you represent the country.
Right. So I mean, in front of you in the national team was, you know, Hatem Trabelsi. And I know he'd cemented his position at right back. Now, I know there's a big age gap between yourselves, but did you feel at any point you weren't big enough to break that mold, so to speak?
Well, you have to. I mean, when you're in a football academy, you confidence is such an important factor in professional sport. If you don't believe in yourself, no one can do it in your stead. So, of course, I mean, I've grown up with posters of Hatem Trabelsi on my wall. I was and still am a very big fan of John Terry. All these big defenders have really made quite an impact on the way I played and how much I wanted to make it as well.
Now, when I mentioned Trabelsi, I noticed your voice changed somewhat. You were very buoyant about it. Now, how important was he as a Tunisian? Because as a right back, you don't expect him to be a hero. I mean, obviously in Italy, you've got Baresi and Maldini, central defenders, but they're not very focused on defenders being legends. But Trabelsi is a legend in Tunisia. And you had the likes of Radi Jaidi and Mehdi Nafti in the squad as well. So why do you think Trabelsi was kind of seen in higher esteem than them?
Well, I mean, he's played in great clubs and obviously, the league in Tunisia is very performing. But for any top player in Tunisia, I mean, the dream is to make it to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And his years when he played for Ajax at the time, Ajax was one of the top clubs in Europe. And I mean, he's done so well. And I think he was a role model as well, more than just a football player. When you hear some of his interviews, he's always very humble. You can feel that he's a very hardworking person as well. And I think all these factors make you inspired by the men.
I can imagine. Now, if I take you back to your time at Toulouse, was Jérémy Mathieu there?
Jérémy Mathieu, I think, arrived a year after I did. I don't remember seeing him around me.
Okay, so you ended up playing in America. How did that move come about?
When you're young, you have quite a lot of football agents around you. And I mean, at the time, we had a very performing squad. I think pretty much all the players in the team were defending some sort of national team to whichever the country they were from. And there was this one agent who approached me and who told me about America, told me that, it would be the next big championship, you know. I mean, obviously Europe will remain Europe, but they were like kind of craving for young European players, and it would be a very good place for me to go. It did not go as planned at all.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, you were still relatively young, so I take it was a massive culture shock. I mean, did it take you long to settle there, or did you settle at all?
Well, I think I never really did in the end. I mean, I went there. I didn't really speak English at the time. I remember the time difference. In these years, we only had MSN, like Messenger at the time. And when I was online, all my friends and family were offline. I couldn't really speak to anyone. I struggled to integrate for a number of reasons that were not only sport related. And it was tough. Yeah, massive cultural shock, I have to say. I wasn't really happy. And I think when you're not happy, when you're not good, that's when you get injured very quickly. Mm-hmm. And only after a few weeks, I broke my metatarsal, and that had a huge impact on me retiring.
See, the thing is, it's quite important what you're saying about your experiences in America and it being a big cultural shock, because in the UK, we're very, how can I put it, skeptical and pessimistic about some European or foreign players that come over here that don't seem to settle. And we're thinking, well, why can't they settle? What's so different about this place? But until you get into these people's heads and realize that, you know, it's completely different. It's the language, it's the culture, it's the people, it's everything involved, everything that's integrated into one, you know, and people such as yourself who've been there and done it and seen what it's all about, you can give them that perfect advice as to how to overcome these obstacles. Now, speaking of obstacles, what was your biggest obstacle or biggest challenge in America, especially off the pitch?
My biggest challenge, especially off pitch, I think it was connecting with the people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting the blame on others. Perhaps at the time my communication skills were not as strong, and obviously if you don't speak the language, it's always a big challenge. But wherever you go, I think you have to embrace the experience and try to create some sort of social life around you. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that it for some reason, it just did not happen between myself and the Americans. I mean, most of them, I still kept in touch with some, and I've got some very good friends in New York now. But at the time, it just didn't happen. And that's hard, you know, when you're not feeling good about, when training is finished and you're like, okay, what am I going to do this evening? I haven't got any mates to talk to. As I said, you want to ring your family, but everyone is kind of asleep because it's night time. Time can be long and you can feel lonely. And I think football is one of these sports where if your personal life is not sorted and if you're not happy, you're never going to be performing on the pitch.
Absolutely. No, that's I agree with that 100%. Okay, so tell us about On Track Sport then. I mean, you and I spoke at length about your vision and your goals, but our listeners really need to hear about this superb project you have in place.
Sure. So how I went about starting On Track was, you know, at some point in my career, I was a bit of a promising star in the sense that I was playing regularly in Toulouse. I was playing for the Tunisia national team. I had a lot of support around me. And when my career came to an end, I realized that I didn't have much support around me, and I never really thought about what I would do once football is over, because you can't really think about these things by yourself, because you want to focus so much on being on giving the best of yourself on the pitch. And I remember going through this phase of, waking up in the morning and not knowing what you're going to do for the rest of the day is pretty scary. And I always thought that one day I will do something about it. And a few years later, I've started to think about what we could do for active football players to help them prepare for life after sport. And that's when I came up with On Track, which in a nutshell is a sport consultancy business that is here to help and support players for life after football. So we have a program in place that football players follow on a number of years, and he will be coached and mentored and trained on a number of different areas that are going to be essential for his transition.
Excellent. So how would you say is a client's success measured?
Well, when I meet clients, you have different cases, obviously, but most of them haven't got a clue about what they want to do,
right.
Or they haven't got a clue about who they are as individuals. And the very first step of the program is getting to know yourself. If you hadn't played football, what would you have done? What are you good at? What are your areas of interest, etc., etc.? So when I start with the client who doesn't know what he wants to do, and after a certain amount of time spent with some of my consultants, when he knows who he is, where his strength lies, and what he would be good at, and what are the sectors he would potentially be interested in, this is the first measure of success.
Excellent. Wonderful. So your company is relatively new. So have you had any success stories so far?
Success story. So I've got a few clients who now we've identified projects for them. So they know exactly what they want to do beyond, once football is over. And the reason why you have to start anytime is because you do not know when your career will come to an end. And I'm the perfect example for that.
Right.
I would have never thought that at 19, this would be it. So in terms of success stories, so we've got some of my clients who know exactly what they want to do. If I give you an example, there's one of them who wants to start a farm in Africa. And we are supporting him all the way through, in the sense that he knows exactly, the size of the farm, how many employees will be on it, exactly how it's going to grow. I mean, obviously farming is a saturated area in a number of cities, but we know how he's going to differentiate himself from the competition, et cetera, et cetera. And all that is making him very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a massive success story in the sense that, quoting him, all this subconscious stress that he had about retiring is gone. Because most of them, when they think about the future, it's a big question mark. It's like they know football will come to an end, but I don't really want to think about it. I want to live in the moment.
Mm, absolutely.
Before the clients who work with us, the question mark explodes and you have a clear project. And you know what you're going to do, and you actually feel better, more relaxed, less stressed, and you can focus more on the game Sunday.
Mm, that's brilliant. I mean, the thing is, what I've noticed is that you've got this the six-pillar program. It's actually quite fascinating when you look into it, because what I admire about it so much is that it's actually focused on the person's needs and their strengths. So it's not as if you're catering it to what you think, it's what they require. And you know, you've got your six, your mental strength, transition coaching, financial security, building a reputation, physical advice, and business entrepreneurship. Now, is this something that you came up with totally yourself, or was there a group of you that got together, did a bit of research into this and came up with it, or was it a tried and tested method based on your experiences?
So between the time I've stopped my career and the time I've started On Track, there's been about 5 years.
Right.
And within these 5 years, where I was working as a consultant in London, I have spent a lot of my weekends and a lot of my evenings doing intensive research on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you don't have that much, because, there hasn't been that many books written about life after sport, because it's a bit less exciting Rooney scoring a hat-trick on a Saturday. But it's still very important. So the way I came up with the program was a combination of all the research that was available. And I've actually looked at all the sports as well. I mean, if you look at American football in the US, there's more research into it than soccer, as they call it in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So a combination of research that I've done, a combination of my experience, and obviously I've spoken to people around me. I've spoken to my former teammates, asking them, do you think that would be useful? Do you think you would use these services? And some of the guys in my team as well. So it was a joint effort that started from my experience. But obviously, the best ideas come from one idea to another idea to another idea.
Right, totally get it. Now, would you say this program is also catered to those that are currently in a bit of a sticky situation, so to speak? I mean, I'm thinking about, off the top of my head, I'm thinking like a high-profile name like, I don't know, Paul Gascoigne. Now, we've seen how he's regressed over the years. I mean, is he one of these people that you feel that maybe this is a path that he can go down and you can help him with?
Well, if we talk about Paul Gascoigne today, I think it would be hard for the program to be fully efficient mm-hmm. with him. I mean, the way the program is designed is for existing, for active football players. Right. And the reason why we're not targeting that much the retired player is for psychological reasons. Because it's much easier and it's much more efficient to plan for your future when you are in a stable and emotionally relaxed place. And once it's time to kind of hang on the boots, you're going to go through so much mentally and psychologically that I do not believe our program would be as valuable as it would be if you had started before the final whistle blows.
That's fair enough. Okay, on a final note, I mean, do you have any messages for the youngsters that are listening to this one that are, you know, aspiring to be professional footballers that, you know, based on your experiences? I mean, we know that, you know, On Track is specifically for people such as them, but what would you say to them now, those that are listening?
I would say a number of things. I mean, the first thing I would say is, keep pursuing your dream as much as you can, because, I mean, very few people live from their passion today. And obviously, if you love football, give it your best try. But the warning I'd give is, you know yourself better than anyone and know whether it's worth pursuing your route, your path for a very long time, and know when it's time to call it a day, which is what I did. In a way, my injury was a blessing to happen that early, because I haven't had a long career at all, and I had to rebound straight away. And I know a number of people who have tried very hard to become pro or to remain pro, and they've gone to, like, I mean, countries that you wouldn't necessarily go to play football, or they've tried very hard and you just end up being in a bad place. So that's the first advice I'd give them, is yes, follow your dream, but know when to call it a day if you really see that nothing is going to happen. And the second thing would be that, yes, football can seem to be everything, but it's not. And that's a fact. There is more to life than football, and there are plenty of other things you can do that will bring a lot of satisfaction and a lot of joy to your life. And finally, I would say that it's very important to prepare for life after sport. And I mean, the guys that I work with, some are very young, others are close to the end. And as I said, you never know when the end will come, but you could be late to prepare for tomorrow, but you'll never be too early. And once you've prepared, you are prepared, and you are prepared to face anything and potentially anyone in life as well.
Fantastic. Wise words from someone that's been there and done it, ladies and gents. Now, Wissem, you know, your website ontrack-sports.com is absolutely fantastic. I mean, you've got a lot of high-profile clients there. So for those that are listening, visit ontrack-sport.com and get in touch with Wissem for that. I mean, have you got a Twitter account, Wissem?
We do have a Twitter account that we do not use that much at the moment, in all honesty, but we're going to be communicating much more from 2017 on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn as well. So, yeah.
Excellent, wonderful. And there's actually a video on the website that explains pretty much everything about what On Track does. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a great project, and I wish you all the best for 2017 and the future, Wissem. Thank you very much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. And till the next time, guys, take care.